Blog Talk Radio.
Take a Run Productions.
Welcome to the URN Radio Show. I'm the Mouth from the South, the Paranormal Outlaw, and joining me tonight is Jeff the Copper Sterl.
Just tonight, call me the Paranormal Six Stone. That's what I am.
Yeah. Well, Martin couldn't join us tonight. He's taking a little sleepy time before he goes to work. So he's counting Jeffs that try to jump over a fence.
I'm not a sheep.
It's getting closer to Christmas.
What's that?
I said it's getting closer to Christmas.
Got 10 days now.
Yep. And then another year behind us.
You know, they always say, you know, you heard that phrase, celebrities die in threes.
Yeah.
Well, today, three of them did.
Really?
One was famous Broadway famous stage and film actor Peter O'Toole. He passed away this morning. Another is one who lived not too far from you, Ray Price, country music legend. He passed away from cancer today. And actress Joan Fontaine died today as well.
Yeah.
So there's your three.
There's our three. Not a good time of year for people to pass away.
Well, is there ever a good time of year for that?
Not really, but, you know, Christmas being that time of year where family's supposed to be together, you know, it sucks for them, you know. I don't wish that on anybody.
Oh,
yeah, it sucks any time of year, but just think of having to go every Christmas, you know, reliving someone's passing at the same time and trying to celebrate Christmas. So, yeah.
Right.
But, you know, that's such a life.
It is. It is.
Yep.
Goodness.
Didn't do much this weekend. Of course, just watched the Cowboys lose. They were winning 23-3 and ended up losing 37-36. So there you go.
Way to go, Cowboys.
Way to go, Cowboys. Way to go.
Represent.
And once again, Romo threw an interception in the last 1 minute of the game to seal their fate.
Yeah, they should have been running the ball, though. They shouldn't have been throwing it anyway.
I totally agree with you. Worst time management I've ever seen.
And the defense sucks anyhow, so.
So, Texans and the Cowboys, they suck.
Yeah, we continued our streak today.
Oh, yeah?
12 in a row now.
All right. Wow, man. Well, let's see here. Got this going on? Go play.
What?
Paranormal News, presented by the Unknown Radio Network. We can't really say who's presenting tonight, because there are a lot of shows on this network. So now, Paranormal News.
I forgot it had the old name of the network on it still. Man, we gotta update some stuff, man. Let's go do some news. It's not really paranormal news, but it's odd news. Pet zebra on the loose in Tennessee. Tennessee man said he'd give a reward to anybody who could locate and capture his pet zebra, which has been on the run for 3 weeks. Let's see. Michigan couple to end holiday display with more than 100,000 lights last year for their massive holiday show, including 100,000 lights. Good God, what kind of an electric bill is that?
That's just another reason I never decorated the holidays.
Here you go. In New York City, cops keep an eye on SantaCon. Thousands of Santa suit-clad revelers took to the streets in New York to celebrate the SantaCon pub crawl, which saw police patrolling for the first time. What the hell are they doing in New York City? Man receives invitations after spending Christmas alone for 9 years. Huh.
Well,
that's
okay.
Kind of crazy. Don't really know what that has to do with it. That one's stupid. Kind of scanning through this. Oh, this sucks. In Freehold, New Jersey, a New Jersey man who hung a dummy from his roof as an ode to Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation film said received an unexpected visit from the police.
And what happened?
Florida man allegedly transported 20 pounds of pot wrapped as gifts.
Wow.
Florida man was arrested in Marion Township, Pennsylvania, after he was caught transporting 20 pounds of pot wrapped as gifts. Well, that kind of goes along with some of the Christmas songs, you know, "Have a Holly Jolly Christmas." Somebody actually would if they got a package of pot.
I guess so.
Layaway Santa in Florida. A Florida man paid off nearly $20,000 in layaway items at his local Walmart as in an unprompted gesture of giving during the Christmas season.
That's cool. Good job for that dude.
Mm-hmm. New Hampshire Craigslist ad says unicorns for sale.
What?
A Craigslist ad placed in New Hampshire has raised eyebrows, offering 2 purebred unicorns for sale. The cost is $1.86 million.
Good luck with that, dude.
Oh, my God. In Italy, an Italian woman who kissed a police officer at a protest in November has been charged with sexual violence.
She's probably ugly. Have you ever heard of someone that looked like, say, like Cindy Crawford, you know, getting, you know, sexual harassment charges filed against her?
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
It doesn't happen.
Oh, man. I got the coughs now. Shit.
Stop.
What'd you do to me, Jeff?
You pissed me off. I passed my disease through you through the internet.
Oh, man. I'm searching through some more news here. Just a little bit slow on the internet. While I'm waiting on that, just a plug for next Sunday. We will have the URN Radio Network. End of the year / Christmas extravaganza. We'll have all those except for Jeff because he'll be visiting family in Houston. Never know. You might pop in, call in, whatnot. But
I might.
All the radio show hosts will be on air at the same time. So I'm going to make sure to have plenty of skits towards the insulting of Jeff. Because it is the end of the year, and I got to get my poking fun of Jeff out of the way before the end of the year.
That's not cool.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Anybody that thinks it is wrong.
Oh, yeah?
Simple as that, yeah. I mean,
why
it's just
is that?
If you think that John Adams was the first president of the United States, you're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Really?
Really, exactly.
I don't know about that.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe me, just ask me.
Oh, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, son of a bitch, 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 gun. You thought I was going to say son of a bitch, didn't you?
That's right, boy. See here. If it's going to pull up, if not, I'll go ahead while that's pulling up. And tonight we do have a really good guest. She's been on the show before. It's been about a year or so. A good friend of ours, Valerie Renee, psychic medium. A little bit about her. Valerie Renee is a natural-born psychic medium, empath, and spiritual healer. Currently residing in Jacksonville, Florida, but she has recently moved to Georgia. I know for a fact. So she's actually in Georgia now. She helps clients all over the world. Valerie has also worked on many missing person cases, both with families and with law enforcement. She has worked with many paranormal investigation teams in the Florida and Georgia area, working mostly as a spirit medium and collecting EVP. Often EVPs caught both by Valerie and other paranormal investigators recording near her have proven that Valerie is indeed communicating with the spirits. Valerie does her own radio show called Spiritual Awakenings Radio and has appeared as a guest on numerous other shows. Locally, she runs a group of over 400 people which teaches meditation, psychic development, mediumship, and healing practices. Her metaphysical education group is the largest of its kind in the predominantly Southern Baptist city of Jacksonville, Florida. For more information on Valerie, you can visit her at www.psychicmediumvalerie, all one word, .com.
Cool.
Yeah, so let's see what we got here. Wow. Let's see. I really haven't found anything on this page that's worth a flip that's even kind of weird or funny. I call it weird news, but... I don't know. You seen any movies here lately?
No, I was going to go see Dallas Buyers Club, but it's not playing in Waco.
Mm-hmm.
That's really the only thing out right now that I want to see. Now, we'll be seeing, right around Christmas time, I'm going to be seeing that new Tom Hanks movie with, you know, where it's about to getting the rights to do Mary Poppins.
Oh, yeah.
I want to go see that, and I want to go see that movie, The Grudge.
The Grudge?
It's got Sylvester Stallone and...
Oh, Grudge Man. Not
yeah,
The Grudge. That's a horror movie.
No, it's not. I don't make horror movies anymore.
Well, The Grudge is actually a horror movie. The name of the movie that you're talking about is Grudge Match. I've seen it advertised on TV.
Well, that may be true, but they don't make horror movies anymore. It may be labeled as horror movies, but that doesn't make it a horror movie.
Oh, jeez.
I'm willing to bet if I saw The Grudge, I'd probably laugh more than anything.
It's pretty good. It's based on a Japanese or Chinese movie.
Well, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Gotta take my nighttime medication.
Oh, God. Now he's getting drugged up.
Well, I have to.
You don't have to do anything.
Yes, I do, if I want to be alive. And with me being sick, it's going to be extra drugged up because I'm also going to be taking some NyQuil. So get ready for that.
Okay.
Oh, Lord.
Took forever for that to play.
Well, that's just because you're not as awesome as I am.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. And again, point proven.
Oh, man.
You hate that it didn't play just now, don't you?
You what?
You hate that it didn't play just now, don't you?
Did you just do something?
No, I didn't do anything. That's what it's going to sound like when I whip your ass.
Well, I need to see where my guest is. He's supposed to be calling in, but I don't know why. And nothing's wanting to work over here.
I just told you why.
What's that? Wow, nothing's wanting to work. I can't even send her a message to find out where she's at. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm fixed at the duck into the kitchen for a glass of water. Or a bottle of water. Be back in about 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm. Well, while we're waiting, I'm going to put on some Rodney Carrington. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, whenever I can get it to play. Let's see here. Well, is it going to play? Wow. Just another fun night.
25 seconds. Damn, I'm fast.
Well, I got Rodney Carrington going to play, but it still hasn't started playing yet. Come on in.
I can just sing it. There, penis. I don't think I like you anymore.
No, sir.
He sings that.
I know he sings that, but that's not what we were going to listen to.
That's his best song.
Oh, geez. Well, I can't get anything to work over here. I can't run the board, nothing. Nothing will play, nothing will do nothing. Now my dog wants that. Oh.
Stop it.
Stop. I'm getting attacked by my dog. Internet won't work. Can it get any worse? Stop.
This is what happens when you doubt me.
When I doubt you.
Mm-hmm.
Dude.
I told you you couldn't get that sound to play quickly because you're not as awesome as me, and you didn't believe me.
I guess not.
Now look. Coincidence? I think not.
Hmm.
So anyway,
I don't know. I'm at a loss of words. I'm over here trying to get things to cooperate and failing horribly at it. Let's see. Damn it, you ain't going to play, I'm going to play something else. See if I can get it to play now. Damn it. Come here. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. See if this plays.
I got a buddy back home. He sells caskets. He goes in that place at night. I was with him. It's way out in the damn country by an old cemetery. Big building full of caskets. He said, come on in. Fuck you! Crazy? I can't handle anything having to do with death or darkness. It scares the shit out of me. I can't even go to a funeral when the casket's open. I always see them move. You know, for some reason, laying there, casket's open, I can't go. Somebody said, he looks natural, doesn't he? Ooh, shit. Some bitch ain't dead yet. Men won't admit they get scared, but I got out of there. I was in bed with my wife the other night. She said, you hear that? I sure did. Go see what it is. Take the gun. Oh, shit, leave the gun. He might get past you. I don't want that some bitch getting me. Getting me like he's going to break in the house and go, giddy, giddy. Hold me down, tickle the shit out of me. Cops show up, one at me. He tickled me. I peed my pants. He pulled my underwear up my butt and left. You catch that bastard, he's dangerous.
All right. Well, I just hit Valerie up, and she said that she was trying to call in. The number's not working. So she's going to try again. If not, we may be calling her.
Yeah, I was doing that earlier when I was trying to call in to get ready for the show.
Really?
Yep.
Well, you called me, so I didn't know that it was acting up.
Well, I mean, when I tried it again, it worked.
So hopefully Valerie will be able to get on with us. If not, she's going to send me her number, and I'll make an attempt to make a call to her.
All right. But anyway, all right. On to some other things here. Hey, there's a Dallas Comic Con in February.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Let's see. Carl Urban from the Star Trek movies or something is going to be there.
Huh.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either.
Oh, Richard Dreyfuss is going to be there.
What is he doing at a Comic Con?
Well, it's a sci-fi expo.
Ah.
I may have to go there just to be him.
That'd be cool.
Mm-hmm. I love Jaws.
Here's another Rodney Carrington here. If it decides to play. Lord. Well, it says it's playing, but we haven't heard it play yet. Wonderful.
I don't think your attitude's going to change when you're dead and gone. You know, wherever you go, wherever you end up, you're going to run into the same people that pissed you off in the past. I get pissed off every day on the road driving. You know, somebody cuts you off. You son of a bitch! You pull up next to him, I'm going to kick Jesus Christ, you're a big bastard. Hi! Woo! Shit! I just came up here to tell you I screwed up back there. I didn't... I got money. Thank God he's in a seatbelt. Just don't think your attitude's gonna change. You get to heaven, you get up there, you get your wings, you become an angel, they get their wings, they become angels, they fart, they flap their wings, you son of a bitch. If you do that again, we'll rip a wing off, you're gonna be flying around in circles. I'll probably get a tiny little set of wings for that comment. I won't even be able to fly. I'll be like a wounded duck up there. This is bullshit! I could be wrong. Maybe God will open the door and go, you funny son of a bitch, get in here! God, it's good to see you. Where the fuck you been?
I gotta love Rodney Carrington.
I love that CD.
Yeah, and I believe we have Valerie with us. Bring her on. You might have to do it. There it goes. Val, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi, you guys.
How are you?
Surviving.
You too,
you survive,
huh?
You survive your
move? And I've been having trouble, definitely having trouble calling in, and then I don't know if other people are hearing weird things, but on the phone line, a lot of what's going on seems to be jumbled, and I don't know if that's related, but I was calling in, and I'm getting some kind of what sounds almost like an answering system instead of Blog Talk, that's like not Blog Talk, and I'm like, okay, am I dialing the wrong number? And it doesn't look like I was, so I don't know what was happening, but I was like... It was really strange, and I kept trying, and then, you know, finally managed to get it, you know, get on the line, and then you guys were talking, and then all of a sudden everything's starting to jumble and sound funny, and then I think you were trying to play something recorded, and it was doing that too, and I'm going, oh boy, is this just a big bad Blog Talk night? I don't know.
Now, if you're psychic, you should see this coming.
Sometimes it gets jumbled up there towards the end of the recording. I don't know why, but then when you listen back to it, it sounds crystal clear on the other end. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either, but I was a little bit, you know, thrown by all that, and I'm going, Well, we will see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah. You never know with Blog Talk what's going to happen.
Yeah, you really don't.
So are you now in Georgia?
No, that actually, I will be moving there the end of January. And, toward the end of January. And pretty much, I was there about 2 weeks ago, through the Thanksgiving holiday and the week after that, and was, you know, looking for a place to live and got a place to live and, you know, filled out all the papers and, you know, paid a deposit and all of that. So it's pretty much set. I have my new address and know what it'll be and know where we'll be living. And it's just pretty much getting the move done at this point. So, but we're going to stay here through, you know, stay in Florida through the holidays. And it's going to be kind of crazy this year because as soon as the holidays are over, I got to put away Christmas and start packing it up to go.
Yeah, moving's always such a pain. I hate moving. But in the same sense, it's exciting because you get to go somewhere new.
Yes, this is true. This is true. And, you know, I mean, it isn't really new to me. It's kind of like going back home after 20 years type thing. It's where my family is. It's where I was an Army brat, so I've kind of been all over the place, but it is where I graduated high school and where I went to college. And so, you know, it's kind of like as close to home, going back home, as I guess I could call it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Although everybody there, you know, they called me the little Yankee girl because I was born in Massachusetts. So.
Well, I get it all the time, and I've been in Texas since I was 7, but I was born in Ohio. My whole family's from there. So, Jeff.
They called you out in Texas, really? I never got in Texas because we lived in Texas right before we moved to Georgia, and nobody ever did that to me in Texas, but boy, they messed with me all the time about it in Georgia. So. Uh-oh, hello.
Hold up, lost him. Let me get him back. I don't know what happened there. Hello?
Yeah.
There you are.
my phone. Gotta love cell service. Dropped.
Quit hanging up on me.
Yeah, I was just saying, when you have people like Jeff, you're always reminded that you're a Yankee.
Yep.
I don't care where people are from. It ain't never mattered. Unless you're from Oklahoma, then I'm going to pick on you.
Right. Now, Valerie, did you make sure your new place was clear of spirits?
I'll be honest with you, not really. I didn't feel or sense anything there, but I can't say that I was entirely looking for it.
Right.
It was funny going and looking for a place to live this time. I recently went through a breakup. Originally thought I was going to be moving there with an ex, and now ex, and we would have had to have gotten a bigger place. We had went there looking before, and it was really hard because, you know, his kids, my kids, have to have a much bigger place. But going this time, now that that's all over and done with, I was able to look for a much smaller place. So it was easier to find a place. Wasn't anywhere near as much of a challenge. Plus not having to bring his terrible credit rating because he's not real good about paying his bills. But, you know, there were a lot of things that made there be a lot less complications and made it much easier for me to find a place, needless to say. Because personally, I actually have fabulous credit. So, you know, for me to do it myself. No, I really do. For me to do it myself is much easier. I'm a Capricorn, and Capricorns, we just don't like to mess with that. We're very concerned about, you know, the physical and money, and so we try to make sure we pay all our bills and keep everything taken care of. And for a Capricorn, if we can't, oh, you know, if things get bad, we can't handle it. So, you know, as a Capricorn, yeah, I actually have really good credit. So it was much easier under those circumstances for me to go find a place. But, you know, looking around and trying to decide, and the town that I want to live in, things cost more. I could have gotten a much bigger house in another one of the neighboring towns, and my kids would be much more happy and comfortable probably as far as the house is concerned. But I got a very small 3-bedroom, 2-bath, which means two of my kids are going to have to share a room already as it is. And, you know, we're definitely downsizing, but I did it because I want them to be in the right school. And I got them in the top county in the state, top for autism, because two of my kids are autistic. So, you know, I'm pretty happy with that, and I am looking forward to it. I'm a little leery about downsizing and what are we going to do with all the stuff we're going to have to get rid of in order to fit in this place. And being a Capricorn again and being into the physical, Capricorns don't like to get rid of stuff very much either. So I'm a little stressed on that end that I'm going to have to do that, but I decided it was more important for my kids to be in the right school and the right school system. And so, you know, we went ahead and went that route. And I was really, the day I went to look at this particular place, I knew it was going to be a small place, but I was in the back of my mind, I pretty much knew there were two houses. One of them she told me she thought she already had someone that was going to be going into. The other one she told me wasn't going to be available till January, but it would probably be the one. But I had to look at the other one, and they had the same floor plan. Well, she tells me that they've got a maintenance guy who lives in the neighborhood who does all the work on the houses that the owner, because she works for this guy who's the owner of several different properties in a couple different counties, well, several counties in the Atlanta area. And she told me, you know, that they had a guy that did all the maintenance for the Peachtree City properties, and that's where I was looking for the place, was Peachtree City. So she gave me his number and told me to call him and go take a look at the places. And I gave him a call, and, oh, I had trouble getting to him that day. There was some wretched wreck on the main road into the town, and I was stuck sitting for, you know, a good hour or so, and I finally called him and said, I really am trying to get to you, but, you know, I've been sitting in standstill traffic for an hour. I have no clue what's going on. And he was really shocked when I told him the road that I was sitting out on and that it was that bad. And he's like, wow. But, you know, he said, okay. He said, look, he said, I'm going to give you my address instead of meeting me at that property. And you just come by here, you know, and text me or call me when you get to, you know, my house. And so I said, all right, and I went ahead and finally got to his house, and, you know, he walked outside the door before I could even try to text him or call him, and out walked Santa Claus. I kid you not. He had a bright red shirt on, and it had a Santa on it, and he had the big full beard, and I looked at this man, and he's walking up, and I'm thinking, this is not who I pictured at all, because he sounded young, very young on the phone, and I was just shocked that this was their maintenance guy. But he comes walking out, and he introduces himself, and, you know, sure enough, it's him. And I'm taking a look at him, and he says, do you mind if I just go ahead and ride over there with you, and I'll just point out to you where to go from here? And, you know, I scanned him and thought, yeah, he's fine. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I grabbed my stuff and moved it to the back so he could sit next to me in my car. And as soon as he sits in there, I'm just looking at him, and I finally just say, you know, I couldn't resist it. I'm like, do you do the Santa Claus thing, you know, every year around this time by chance or something? And, you know, he laughed, and he said, why, yes, I do. And he proceeded to tell me how he did the Santa Claus thing for children's hospitals and children's homes and retirement homes and, you know, just all sorts of places he would go to every year and play Santa Claus for, you know, and that he kind of did this out of basically the kindness of his heart for all of these organizations and all of these people. And, you know, I was so impressed with that. And I thought that's, you know, that's great that you do that. And, you know, he says, well, it kind of gives something back, and it brings a holiday spirit, and it makes, you know, people feel really good. And I thought, well, that's really awesome. And I said to him, you know, I'm going to be headed over to my in-laws, because my in-laws actually are the ones who live in the town I'm moving into. And, you know, my son is there, my kids are there, my youngest would just love to know that Santa was the one showing me the house today. And I got a little niece that's going to be over there, and she would love to know, too, I think. And, you know, I would really like to, you know, show them this. And, you know, I said, do you mind if I get a picture of you, you know, before we part ways today? And he said to me, yeah. He says, when we get back, when you bring me back to my house, though, let me get the hat and put it on, and then we'll do the picture. And I was like, okay, so... Anybody who is connected to me on Facebook, or you could go search out my Google Plus page as Valerie Renee. I've got the pictures on both, and I've got them public. Well, I've got them public on Google Plus, so you could search out Valerie Renee on Google Plus and find me and see those. But he let me get his picture, and, you know, I thought that was really cool. And, of course, then, you know, I went and showed the picture to my son and to my niece, and they both just were, that is just so cool. Oh, my gosh, Santa showed you the house. That must mean you have to take it. It was so cute to listen to them and how excited they got about it. And what was funny, though, was went back to my mom's house. She lives about a half hour away. She lives in the county with the worst schools in the area, which is why I'm not going to live in the county my own mother is in. But it's the neighboring county. Go figure. The worst in the state and the best in the state are neighboring counties. Go figure. But it's really bad. They've lost their certification and everything in Clayton County, whereas Fayette County is considered to be the absolute best schools for everything, for gifted, for autism, and for general education in the state of Georgia. So go figure that the worst and the best would be literally next door neighbors. But so drove back over my mother's direction and show her the pictures of the houses and the picture of Santa. And my mom was so funny because she got all excited and she said, it's a sign. You know, it's the Christmas season and Santa showed you the house because that's the house you're supposed to take. And I laughed at her for that because it sounded so much like the kids. But at the same time, what was funny is I thought the same thing. You know, when the man walked up to my car, I thought, this is a sign. So there you go. And lo and behold, he'll be my maintenance man because, you know, I'm renting the house there. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, being a former teacher and just a teacher right now, it really is hard to find a good school that has special needs programs for kids that have autism and other sorts of needs. You know, so I'm glad that you found a school district that's good. Yeah.
I mean, I lived there years ago, and back then Fayette County was considered to be close to the best. Strangely enough, Clayton County was at the top of the list back then, too. Things have definitely, over the past 20 years, changed. But they still are considered to be the best in Fayette County 20 years later. And people all over fight to get homes in that area and so on. I mean, trying to get a place, one of the biggest challenges is if you don't say, I want it, I'll take it, you lose it. And in trying to get this place, the lady who was handling the business part of it with me, as far as getting this house was concerned, she was, you know, when I talked to her after seeing the places, I told her, gosh, I wish the other one wasn't already taken. And it wasn't available for basically almost now. And I said, because I would really rather be in that one. And I don't know what this woman was operating on, if it was intuition. I keep feeling like it was because she actually put somebody else off and ended up giving me the place that I wanted. She told me she was fearful that the other people weren't going to be moved out and that they might even end up having to take them to court and that I wouldn't be able to get in there by the end of January like I needed. And she had a talk with her boss and about the situation, and he said, look, I'm fine with us saying that it basically started, you know, end of January, beginning of February. Just as long as she gives us a deposit, we're good to hold it till then. And so she held somebody else off, which that's not normally good business if you can get a renter in there paying sooner. But she told me, she said, look, my feeling on you is that you're the type of person we want in there renting it. So I'm going to hold this other lady off because, you know, I feel like you need to be in there. And I was like, wow, okay. So I guess it was kind of an intuitive thing coming out of this woman. And she held on to the place. And then at one point she had another person coming trying to rent the place. And there was miscommunication going on between her and I because I had told her I wanted the place. I wanted to come handle all the paperwork and get it done before I left town. But she had to go to court. They have a lot of properties they deal with and people who don't pay their rent and people they end up having to take to court. And she had a court date where she had to go deal with some of this. And then I was leaving town the next day. And so she said, look, we'll handle it all through internet, email, you know, we'll get it done. And, you know, I was like, are you sure you want to do it that way? And she's like, look, I trust you. And I'm like, you haven't even met me yet. She's like, I don't have to meet you. I've talked to Milo. I got his opinion. Milo's the Santa. She says, I got his opinion. I've talked to you plenty myself. She says, I trust you. And she says, we'll handle it this way because, you know, and she says, we're going to meet face-to-face when you get the keys, if nothing else anyway. And she said, we'll handle the business aspects between now and then through that. You know, don't worry about it. You've got the place. And then something happened. She had left me a message while I was traveling back home. And service isn't so great on your phones when you're traveling in you know, the Georgia and Florida interstates and all the woods and the back areas. It just, yeah, the service doesn't go real well through that area. So my trip back home, I couldn't really call. It ended up very late. And, you know, I contacted her the next day, and she was like, I've already had another person wanting to rent the place, and I told her she could have a look at it. And she said, I thought when I didn't hear from you for a day that you were no longer interested. And I'm like, okay, I told her that was the day I was traveling back. What the heck? But she then turned around and said, it doesn't matter. I'm going to tell the person, you know, that you had first dibs. So I was like, okay. So as you can tell from all that, these places go so fast in this town. So it makes it really hard. I've made other trips there and walked away with nothing. One time we ended up deciding we weren't going to move there after I'd put a deposit on a place. But it was an apartment. You can get apartments a little bit easier, but if you're trying to rent a house, forget it. They go like hotcakes, and they go really fast. So it was not easy, but there was something about this particular person that, you know, her intuition was obviously operating for her a little bit too. And I was like, well, thank goodness for that. Or maybe spirit was doing things to make it happen because it was not easy otherwise, but I've had so many messages that I need to go ahead, I need to get on with this, I need to move on with my life because there's a lot of things waiting for me that are going to happen when I live there, not here. So
yeah,
that's how it is.
Yeah, and I dealt with a family during the Thanksgiving holidays. My team's kind of taking a sabbatical. I pulled down the website and everything, and we just kind of taken a good deserving break from it all, you know, and just kind of laying low.
Wow.
And, you know, relax, do a little ghost hunt here and there, that kind of thing. And, you know, doing God's work like we do, and I feel that this is part of my path. God has funny ways of showing things to you, you know. It's like everything's quiet, and then I get a call from one lady that we investigated about 2.5 years ago, and we made a DVD of this historical building, and I told her that, you know, I can make copies and they can sell them, you know, that kind of help, you know, raise money for the building, because it's pretty haunted. And 2.5 years later, I get a phone call from her wanting 20 CDs. So I had that, and then I had one of my team members call me and say that she had a case residential case. And then on top of that, I had a hotel in Arkansas contact us, wanting us to come up there for a paranormal weekend. So it's like God said, huh, you think you just left. You're not leaving, you know. And, yeah, and the interesting thing about this, that's why I was asking you that, was these people were actually renting a home, and they moved in about 3 months ago. And the mother, the daughter, and the son all have, they're all sensitive. They can see spirits. They can talk to them, whatnot, especially the mother. And she said when she walked in, you know, she didn't feel anything, right? And then once they got moved in, just all hell broke loose. And, you know, stuff being moved, being thrown, shadow figures, door slamming, footsteps, you know, the whole nine yards, bad energy, you know, getting headaches and all kinds of stuff. So they called us in, and, you know, I was getting a bad juju vibe from certain areas of the home and outside. And so I called in my friend Bishop Christina Rake, and she did a remote view for me. And she was picking up some of the same things that the lady that lives there was picking up. Of course, she's sensitive, so she kind of got, and she's at the point in her life where she wants to learn how to control it, right, and protect herself and that whole nine yards, you know. So having somebody that's in the paranormal that, you know, is also clergy, given the same read that she already was experiencing, some of the, you know, things going on there. But man, this place is just, it's bad. It's a pat, huh?
It's crazy, I take it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it's one of those pieces of land where there's so much negative history that's happened on the land. There's actually bodies buried underneath the house. There's molestation, rape, murder, cult practices, drug dealing, you name it has been done on this land. So everything that's there is attached to the land, and there's some sort of portal that had been opened up. And, of course, there's a little, you know, Mr. Nasty running around out there, too. So the kamikaze of just craziness going on in that land being, you know, attached to the land itself, it was overwhelming for the family. And I had to tell them, you know, after talking to the bishop, since you're just renting, I said the best bet for you guys is to move. You know, you haven't been there that long, and it's a shame, but ever since they moved, nothing. You know, they're good. The kids are back to normal. They're not getting tormented. But what's bad, what's sad is the owner of the home that rents it out, she tried to show him all the evidence that we had collected and the bishop's reads and whatnot, and he didn't want to have any part of it. And I'm just thinking, you know, that's a shame, because he's the one that has to kind of agree to for people to come in and try to clear it out and close the portal up. And, you know, since he owns the land, you know, so he's not on board. So I feel bad for the next family that moves in there, because they're going to get the same stuff.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, that happens a lot. I remember dealing with a lot of cases where, you know, people moved out and, you know, another family is going to move on in and deal with the same stuff. But, you know, it does happen.
Yeah. But, you know, like I told Jeff, I said, it's just, it's odd. You disappear from the paranormal and there's not really no advertisement of your team. And some way or another, a client still finds a way to reach you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's sometimes just what happens, you know, and I think a lot of cases, you know, in the paranormal really do end up just going unsolved, and people can't, you know, totally figure out what to do to keep that from being the case, unfortunately, either.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's happy. She said, I'm so thankful that y'all came.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, and people, you know, end up, okay, I'm out of here and moving out, and, you know, then the next family has to deal with it, and when they get tired, mm-hmm. the next one, so on. So not all of these cases can be solved or fixed, you know. You don't always have enough ability to, you know, I mean, God has granted some people with ability. Some people are able to exercise things, some aren't. Some are able to pick up exactly what's going on, like I can in mm-hmm. a paranormal setting. Some can't, you know. There are some cases that just, you know, they've tried to exercise things and, you know, everything, and no matter what's done, it just seems to make it worse and nothing. You know, there are things that are stronger than any of us, unfortunately, and don't want to go and don't, you know, respond to usual methods. And, you know, there's just sometimes there's just not a lot that you can do.
No. Yeah, you know, Christina, she said when she first looked at the photographs of the outside of the property, she said it just hit her, the energy just hit her just really hard. It got her sick. You know, the energy was so overwhelming before she even did a read. And but she told me, she said there's no way, she said a priest wouldn't be able to even do anything. She said in order for this stuff to go away, someone's got to go in there that knows what they're doing, that can shut down this portal, and then possibly, you know, probably a shaman would probably have to come in and try to clear the land. But she said it's one of those cases where it'd be, you know, an ongoing battle just to try to clear it up because of so much negative.
And there are cases like that. They usually involve demonic. If there's something demonic that has been settled in on that land, there's usually been murders or bodies left or something within the same vicinity. There's usually such a heavy amount of negative activity in a case like what you're talking, where, yes, it would take unbelievable amount of clearing. I know the type of case you're talking about because I have experienced that type of case. But the one thing I would like to say about that type of case is that it is rare. Cases like that aren't everywhere. Cases that bad are not everywhere. There have to be very special circumstances. A lot of people, and I, you know, would like people to understand this, a lot of people involved in the paranormal put out the message that everything is demonic, and that's not true. It's so false it isn't even funny. But I will say this, as a psychic medium, I have been put through many lessons in life. Some of them involve the light, and some of them involve the dark. And when they started introducing me, they first started introducing me to the light. And I got to do beautiful readings for people, beautiful messages from family members on the other side, and everything was so love and light and wonderful. And in my mind, I was even starting to question if the darkness really existed because it was all so love and light and beautiful. And then one day my guides told me, you will get into paranormal investigation. And this was before mediums were doing it a lot. This was back when it was still considered a thing that geeks did. And, you know, psychic mediums touch it with a 10-foot pole because why would I go to them? And most of us had that attitude, and yet I had this voice telling me, no, you will do this. You will. Learning about the dark side. You do definitely catch more of the dark side in the paranormal world, but not every case involves demons. A lot of the times you have spirits that are so confused, they didn't move on for whatever the reason when they died. Some of them after a period of time will become very confused because when you are in a body, you have a constant connection to God. If everybody thinks really deep and hard on this, even when you're alone, you never feel completely alone. That's because you have that internal connection to God. There's a part of you, that aura, that part of you that is a part of God. But when you die, all the bodies separate, including that one that's a part of God. Some call it a part of God. Some call it the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of different names for it. but that part of your body separates. You separate from the physical body, the spiritual body, and the soul body. They all separate. Well, the spiritual body basically goes back to the source, so to speak. To regain that, you have to go to the light or the source to have that again and have that connection to God. It's why, you know, I don't know how people feel about religion, but that's why Jesus Christ had to die for us. He had to be the first one to do it. The souls were pretty much sleeping to avoid suffering before then. That's what the Old Testament tells us. That's why back then mediumship was bad, because witches were conjuring and waking those spirits, and those spirits were suffering if they were awakened. So anyway, but I'm getting off on another tangent. The fact of the matter is these spirits, they become confused if they don't go back to the light and go to the source, because they no longer have that internal connection to God. Without that internal connection, they become more and more distraught, more and more angry as time goes on. So a lot of spirits haunting places, half their problem is they're angry. They don't necessarily get it that they're dead. They don't like that all these other people are coming around and intruding in their home and their place and their space. They don't like that everything seems to keep changing. Children's spirits oftentimes seem very negative and evil under these conditions, because they watch other children come to their home and grow up and move out. They don't understand why mommy and daddy eventually left them. They don't understand why these new kids moved in. Sometimes the spirit, the child spirit will even befriend the children living in the home, and then they'll become angry, and I've seen this happen more than once with several cases. Those same spirits will become very angry once those kids grow up, and that's when the activity will start to get more negative in the house, because they can't understand why the other, their friend that they played with, their playmate, now isn't interested in playing with the spirit anymore, because they've grown up. And the spirit is still a child. And so the spirit doesn't get it and becomes more and more angry. I've seen these cases a million times, and this is not a demon, but I have seen many in the paranormal say that these aren't really children. These are demons disguising themselves as children, and that's not the case. Very often a child is simply an angry child who doesn't understand why they're still a child. If they haven't moved on, they're not going to get it. Now, in a case like that, you can sometimes convince the child to move on. There have been cases I've been able to. There have been cases where the child was so stubborn that there was nothing I could do about it. The best that we can do is try under those circumstances. But in some cases, spirits are too stubborn, and they're not going to listen to anything you have to say, and they're still stuck too much in what they believe their reality is to move on. What is that movie called? There was a movie out quite a while ago now, Robin Williams, What Dreams May Come, I think is what it was called. It's actually pretty accurate as to what sometimes happens in the spirit world when they die. The woman in the movie, who is his wife, she's like caught in this limbo where she kills herself, and then she can't come out of that. And he was already dead. That's part of why she kills herself. And he basically has to go to where she is to try to get her to remember and come out of what she's doing. But she's basically still in the house, essentially haunting it, and doesn't even realize what she's doing or get that she's dead or even really understand who she is anymore. Because that disconnection happened, and that disconnection was there. And oftentimes with things like suicide, it very much is like that. One of my dearest friends, when her and I first met, her daughter tested me because her daughter was going to prove that I was a fake. and apparently my friend, she had met a psychic couple who turned out to be a couple of frauds. And her daughter had become very protective of her being friends with other people with abilities. And my friend is actually very psychic herself and very powerful as a healer as well, and extremely mediumistic as well. But her daughter at this point didn't believe in any of it and was going to prove that I was a fraud too. So she had left open her computer and had a chat box with me and had walked away. And her daughter came up and introduced herself through the chat box and said, tell she's testing me. Tell me something I don't know about myself. Tell me, or tell me something you couldn't know. And I said, well, there's somebody named Mary here, and Mary says that she died at 14 years old, and Mary says that you two were very good friends, and Mary says that she is the one who tells your mother every time you do something wrong because she wants to make sure you don't make the same mistake she did. And I went on continuing to tell her why Mary killed herself, all the things that Mary was complaining about, depressed about, and so on. And around this time, Lisa comes down and sees that her daughter, that's my friend, Lisa, and sees that her daughter is on the computer and what her daughter's doing. And she's like, what are you doing? Do not harass my friend. Do not, you know, she is real. She's not like that couple. Quit what you're doing. And her daughter was white as a ghost. And she's like, what's going on? She says, Mom, I know she's real. I know she's real. I'm sorry. Everything I ever said to you about this not being true, I know she's real, Mom. I'm sorry. And Lisa goes and takes a look at everything I'm writing. And Lisa's like, is this true? Is this true? Because I didn't even know this. Is this, you know, because she's like, at first, Mom, I thought maybe you told her. She said, I haven't told her anything, no. And she was like, okay, Mom, yeah, I know you didn't tell her now. And Lisa's continuing to read everything I'm writing, and she's like, I didn't know this, and I didn't know this, and I didn't know this, and I didn't know this. And she says, is this all true? And, you know, she's like, yeah, it's all true. And, you know, she was like, oh, okay. And she's like, wow. And she said, you were keeping some secrets, and she started chewing her mouth for that. But, you know, she literally got on her hands and knees at that point, apologized to her mother for never believing in the stuff and never believing in her and never believing in any of it, and told her, from now on, I will believe, and I'm going to be good, and I'm going to that. And, my friend ends up getting on the phone and calling me after that, and she says, thank you. You don't know what you just did for me.
We have a caller on the line. She's been on hold for quite a while now. We have Beth, and she had a question about what the rest of the year holds.
Hi, Beth.
Hey, Valerie.
Oh, this is my Beth. Hi, Beth.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I've known Beth for quite a while. She's actually been a client, and we've become pretty good friends as well. So, that's why I called her my Beth.
Question. Mine is just a general question.
It's a general question, what to expect the rest of the year, right? Mm-hmm. Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
Okay, hold on. Okay, well, first off, Beth, on the romance front, I think it's going to go kind of slow. It's going to build back up, but it's going to be kind of slow up through the rest of this year. We don't have a lot of the year left at this point, but, but you know, through the rest of this year, on the romance front, it's going to go kind of slow. Something, I don't know if it's already happening, if you're in the process or this is something we're going to see happening over the rest of this month or what the situation is, but you're going to be looking into something with another movie, and there's some kind of inspiration that's going to come over you that you're going to be basically starting to write again. For that, with a, you know, script, writing a script. Does that make sense? Is it already started, or?
Yes. I've got something I've worked on a little bit.
Okay, so you are already getting started. Okay,
getting
started. Keep working on that, because
that's going to be something really good.
Okay, good, good. Great. Yeah, I've got
and whatever has. Oh, there's two of them? Really? Wow. Okay, hold on a minute. Okay, hold on. Okay, there's, have you been, I don't know if this involves somebody who's special needs, or is there something involving something special needs, because there's something about something special needs, but then, and I don't know if we're talking about same thing, but there's something that also involves dreams and intuition. Does that make sense?
Dreams and intuition?
Mm-hmm.
Dreams and intuition. Okay, I do have a script that I have.
And special needs.
Okay.
There's some.
I have. If actually that nails it on both. I have one that I've worked on called Collective Dreams, where
wow.
Someone
okay.
solves a case. It's sort of a thriller, solves the case through dreams, and then the special needs. I have one that for a camp. It's about a camp for children that have survived all types of tragedies. A special camp for children that have survived all types of camps. All types of tragedies, suicides of parents. Death of parents, things like that. Different.
Okay,
it's sort of a fake.
So these are the two that you're working on right now, what we're talking
yeah.
about here, I take it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then have another film short that is about a liturgical dance company at a church. But I've actually finished that script. I'm just waiting on the church to give me the go-ahead to go ahead and do
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I'm not getting anything on that one in particular. I feel like the other two have, I'll be honest, more of a chance.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. The other would be just, you know, just a small
like
thing.
Like basically the two things were mentioned to me because it, those they can be successful. I mean, there's no other way I can put it, so...
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But you do need to go ahead and keep working on those. The romance front is going to be slow, so put your focus on that. So you know, basically, Beth, it sounds like I can, like, harp on you that you need to write those scripts and you can harp on me about my book. So
that's a good deal. I haven't worked on scripts in a while, and I need to because I have a lot of scripts going, and I need to get busy because fair is fair.
Yeah, there you go.
And you need to write your book.
Yes, I do. I know.
You need to get
yeah,
busy.
As a
and
matter
write.
Of fact, I haven't gotten to writing today, but I already completely committed in my mind that before I go to bed tonight, when the show ends, I'm going to be writing for an hour at least. So,
that's fantastic.
And then I'll go to sleep.
That's what I want you to do. That's great. And when I get out of school this Wednesday, I will try and on Thursday or Friday, I will try and work on whichever script seems to come to me at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
I will work on whichever script. Because I don't have one script running. I seem to have several. But I haven't.
Yeah,
and
you need to work on this. I mean, You've been cracking at these things different scripts and different things for a lot of years, but just feels like these are two that are a really good idea. So.
Okay. And I do have pieces of them done, so I feel like I need to probably continue and flesh those out and get them finished.
Yeah. Okay, Beth, well, you helped me feel better today. You know what I was saying to you yesterday.
Yes.
But anyway.
Anyway, that's good. And I feel very happy that you say you are going to write. That's good news.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. You too.
Uh-huh. That's right, and I do need to, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite and tell you to write when I haven't worked on scripts in quite a while, because someone will be coming to me soon from my church saying, you know, when are we going to film again, and I need to have a script finished when they come to me for that. So I will get to work. I will get to work immediately. Not immediately. I will get to work this week. All right. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm glad that you brought that up. That needed to be brought up.
Yeah. Well, apparently, whatever comes through. You asked what for the rest of the year, so you're getting the push. Okay, work on this.
That's what I wanted to do, was to just leave it open. And I do have some downtime for the rest of the year, a little bit. So, you know, that's good. That's good. Since I do have downtime. All right. Well, thank you guys very much. I'll continue to listen to the show.
Okay. All right. Thanks for calling in.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Am I still here? Everybody here?
Yes.
Oh, God, I'm real quiet. I was like, did I drop my call again?
No. Nope, we're here.
You know, to go on what we were talking about prior to the phone call, you know, you're absolutely right with the teams out there. They don't they want to jump the gun, and, you know, just like the case I was working on, you know, I've gotten to the point in my investigating where I can pick up on energy, and I can pick up on the real nasty energy if it's present. And but what paranormal teams don't understand, right, is like for this case that I just dealt with, this thing was hiding from all of us. And well, there's multiple spirits there, but the demonic that's there was real smart, because I couldn't get that gut wrenching nasty feeling that I get when I normally come across something like this. And you know, but something in the back of my mind was like, just don't jump the gun on what's going on, what you're seeing right now, because there's more to it, was kind of thing. Because we were doing a K2 session with the family, and because they kept talking about a little girl that they had saw, right? Well, I wanted to know what was up with this little girl, because especially with children, if, like you said earlier, you know, they need to cross over. You know, it's not good for them to be stuck, right? Well, as we're doing this K2 session, there was something in the back of my mind going, is this really a little girl, or is this something else, right? And I kept having that inner struggle in my head going, there's something else going on. So when Christina did her read, she gave me a read, and I said, so did you pick up on a little girl anywhere? And she goes, no, there's no little girl there. And I was like, oh, now I know what's going on. Because this little girl seemed, this little girl person was trying to hang around the daughter. Well, the daughter, which I didn't tell the client this, but the daughter seems to be very vulnerable at this point in her life, and, you know, maybe possibly trying drugs or whatever it might be, but she's at that weak point, you know, and it made a lot of sense that this thing was lurking. working around her and is appearing as a little girl.
Right.
Yeah, so you just never know what's going to go on. And like I said, I've done this a lot of times, and I've had some, you know, full-blown demonic cases, not many in the last 4 or 5 years, but I've had a couple, and, you know, they're tricky. So for me to not even think at the time that there was something really evil there, and to, you know, but I had a kind of an inclination, but I wasn't really 100% sure of anything. But then when I get a confirmation from somebody else that's not even walking the property, you know, and then it makes all sense. And I'm just like, okay. And then there's teams out here, they'll walk in, and the first thing they say is, oh, you got a demon. No.
Yeah.
There's more to it, people.
Well, and the thing is, I mean, sometimes, and this is the other thing, there are portals sometimes involved. And when that happens, there could be nothing demonic that's been hanging in the house. And so things could go unnoticed for long periods of time. But if there's an open portal in that house and things start getting bad, you know, between the family members, let's say, I'm making up scenarios here, let's say a husband and wife are having really volatile feelings in their marriage, maybe one of them is cheating on the other, whatever, there's something really bad going on, and there's tons of negativity between them, that'll attract something, especially if there's an open portal on the property. So they might have never noticed anything, and then all of a sudden, they're getting attacked in their own home around the same time as all the bad stuff's happening. Things like that happen, where suddenly there wasn't really a haunting, but there was an active open portal, and the negative energy attracts and brings out the negative beings.
Yeah.
Things like that do sometimes happen, but, you know, you have that, and then you do have times where there's an active portal and there's demons that have been hanging around it forever, trying to keep other spirits from moving on and so on.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, Valerie, because the family did do some history searching, and the previous renters were actually into drugs, dealing drugs, you know, a negative scene. And from what Christina said was somebody on that property, the portal had been closed, and then somebody, you know, that lived there at some point decided they were into cult practices. They pulled out a Ouija board, they opened the portal up, and it's been open ever since. So it makes a lot of sense if previous renters were negative, right, and there's an open portal there, that they're going to pull something negative into that area.
Yeah, absolutely. And unfortunately, that is what happens in a lot of cases, too. You know, when people don't necessarily understand playing with something like a Ouija board, when you don't know what you're doing, I mean, honestly, I wouldn't suggest anybody just play with the Ouija board at all. But when you don't know what you're doing, you shouldn't be trying, quite frankly. If you've never communicated with spirit in any way, shape, or form, forget just the Ouija board. If you try to do... Okay. If you're going to try to be a medium, you're already going in the wrong direction. People who are mediums don't have to try, because the spirits simply are there and come to them. But there are people out there who decide that this is a great power, and I'm being sarcastic because I do not approve of it being called a power in the first place. I find that really bothersome. But I hear people say this kind of thing all the time, and people who refer to it as a power, you know, are usually looking for some kind of power. So they're already starting from a negative, because they're already starting from a place where they're trying to be in control, controlling in control. And mediumship, real mediumship isn't like that. It's the same as a person walking up and approaching me to talk to me. If I have that ability, I don't have to conjure. I don't have to ask the spirits, oh, mighty great spirits, come to me, or any of this garbage. They simply do. If someone comes to me because they miss their loved one and they need to hear from them and they're mourning and they can't get over it and they need that realization that the person definitely does survive after death, they come to me well, the spirits that they're mourning over are going to be right there because they're around their family and they see what their family or their loved one is going through. So when the, you know, person comes to me as a medium, I don't have to sit there and conjure anything. The spirit's right there ready to talk to me and help their family member. That's just how it works. There is no, you know, I have to conjure and you know, attract these spirits and tip tables and play with Ouija boards. And, you know, none of that stuff is necessary at all in the first place. So when you get people who in any way, shape, or form are trying to take matters into their own hands and, you know, make those spirits communicate with them as opposed to leaving it as a free will, God's will be done type of situation, they're already coming from a negative place. They're already asking for trouble. And chances are they're going to open something up that they can't control. And I've had a lot of people say, what makes you think that that's not what you're doing? What makes you think, well, for one thing, I never ask the spirits to come to me or speak to me. What I do is I ask God. Before every reading, I pray to God that whatever is going to help the individual in front of me be able to come through, whatever be God's will. It's not my will. It's God's will. End of story. I put it in God's hands. I do not put it in my own. This is not a power to me. This is something that I have been asked to do, and I'm just a translator. That's really all I am. It's no different than if I spoke a foreign language and had to translate back and forth to English. This is simply me translating. That's all it is on my end. So when you go into it from a place of power and you want it to be a power so that you can, you know, get things your way or do things your way or me or any of that, you're coming from somewhere negative and you don't know what you're opening. And a lot of people go, oh, but I can do it and I'll be okay because I just surround myself in white light. That's great, but what about all that negative energy that you've got inside that white light? It doesn't necessarily do you any good if you're coming from a negative place. Even if you do, quote-unquote, visualize white light or surround yourself, it still comes down to where, what is the source of your desire to, quote-unquote, do this? Is it free and open-ended, or is it, you know, you trying to maintain get or, you know, whatever, something out of it? And when it becomes about something, you know, selfish under those terms, it's a problem. A lot of people want to say, well, if you collect money, it's coming from somewhere selfish and is a problem. And it's, that's a little bit different. Everybody has to get paid in some way, shape, or form. Some people have taken it to the extreme and said, well, Jesus never got paid. Yeah, he did. People paid him by feeding him, by clothing him, by letting him stay in their homes. All of that, these things would cost people things that they had. So they were paying him, essentially. He could not have done his ministry if others didn't provide for him. And so anything that anybody does in this world, you know, we still have to eat, we still have to live, you know, that's the bottom line. So this isn't really something where you would say, okay, well, it's still selfish because you're, you know, in the end you do collect some money sometimes. Some things I collect money for. I collect money for readings. I collect money for adult missing person stuff when families come to me, but I do not collect it for children cases. I do not collect it for paranormal. You know, there are different rules and different reasonings that I choose to collect for some things and I choose to not for others. But you go into this and your intention with the spirit world has to always be, you know, this isn't my will, this isn't about me. People who are playing with Ouija boards, almost 99.9% of the time, they want to get answers to things, or they want to do it because they think it's going to be entertaining, or, you know, they might acquire some sort of power from it. Or there's always, almost always, a negative charge behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That is why the Ouija board has become such a way of opening portals. It really it doesn't have to be a Ouija board. It could be any tool. It could be, you know, just trying to contact the spirit in general. It could be anything that could actually open that portal. But every single time, it involves the negative intention.
Yeah. You know, and what I, because I had a, I had some guys on, they'll be on this show next year, next month in January, but I was explaining to them, they weren't as knowledgeable of things, you know, they're newer, so I was trying to share some of my knowledge to them, and they like using the ghost box, and I said, well, it's a good tool. I said, you know, it's hard to prove a lot of things. You know, you got to do a lot of creative ways of using it to not be able to debunk it, right? I said, but when you use it, you got to close it down properly, right? Because you're opening that door of communication, and they were like, you got to close it down. And I said, yeah. I said, Martin, our other host, is not here tonight. He did Ghost Box session experiments every day for like 2 years. But he realized when he first started, if he didn't close it down, he'd have, you know, things going on in his house, you know. And that's what I was trying to explain to him, that, you know, any kind of form of communication, you got to learn, you know, the proper way to use those type of things, you know. And as far as the Ouija board, what people don't understand about it is, when you're putting your hand on that planchette, you're putting your energy onto that board. So when you open that door, your energy is exposed, right? And that's when you can sometimes pick up attachments or whatever else, you know. But a lot of the, you know, the name of the game nowadays, it's your intent. It's all about the intent. If your intent is selfish reasons, negative, like you said, you know, negative things are going to happen. You know, and it's all about, if your intent is to help people and do good things, then that's, you know, good things happen most of the time. And so a lot of people don't realize that, you know. They just, well, I don't believe in it. Let's pull out this Ouija board thing and we'll see what happens, you know. And then nothing happened. And I've had clients that say, well, nothing did happen. I said, well, something apparently did, because your house is just rocking with paranormal activity, you know? The board doesn't have to communicate with you for a door to open.
Right. Yeah, so, exactly. It doesn't. And sometimes it really does open doors. Like, to that, I'll be honest with you, I have questions. Because there are times where absolutely nothing happens, and there are times where it does. And honestly, I have questioned if it's not a little bit more like, okay, let's be honest. There's a lot of spirits that don't move on. I could go to almost any location, sit down, have a talk with spirit, and have a portal somewhere really close by pointed out to me. Because people have died all over the place. People have left open portals when they've died all over the place. So they're all around us. Just like spirits are all around us, so are open portals. But again, anything could come in and out of that portal. But again, they're usually, to attract something negative, there usually has to be enough negative energy or negative intent, so to speak. And, you know, selfish intent, things like that. When that is happening, though, and that negative energy builds, something then suddenly comes through one of these portals where there was never anything before, perhaps. But I don't know that we are technically opening portals, which is a common belief.
Right.
Because from what I can tell, portals are all over the place already. They just lay kind of latent until something happens that attracts one of these negative or demonic type entities. So I think the portals are probably already there from whatever time in history. It could be 10 years ago. It could be 1,000 years ago. You know, it could be any time period. But I think things are already there. And I don't think we're necessarily magically opening new portals by messing with Ouija board or having the negative intent or whatever it is. I think what's happening is that when enough of that negative energy gets sensed, we pull something out of that portal, or we attract something with that negative energy.
Yeah, that makes sense, you know. That's what's so cool about this field is there's always another explanation, you know, and
right.
new thought process. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, my experiences with mediums, well, I was just going to say my experiences with psychic mediums is a lot of times when they're talking to spirit, sometimes they'll describe them opening a door and stepping out and communicating and then going back in that door and shutting it, you know?
Okay. Yeah, I have never necessarily experienced it like that
myself,
but, you know, I mean, that could be the way it comes through to them to let them know, hey, this is what we're doing. Okay, it's over now. Communication happens in so many different ways for so many, you know, different psychics and mediums.
Mm-hmm.
I do, my theory on it is that those portals are technically already there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a popular theory. That's the Valerie Renee theory. But just everything I've seen through the years, you know, cases I've been involved in and so on, to me, common thread seems to be that almost all the time I'm finding out the portal was already there long before the haunting really got going. This is a good example, a case that I was involved in years ago now in the Jacksonville area. There was a lady who had gotten very involved with the spiritualist and believed she was a medium. And everything I picked up about this woman, she was putting herself in danger because she really wasn't equipped to do the mediumship. She was living in a home where her child had died. 15 years old, out playing basketball. You know how they say warm-ups and cool-downs are important? Well, apparently they are, because he stopped playing cold turkey, went in to get something to drink, and had a heart attack in front of the refrigerator. And it took his life at 15. Really sad situation. But the mother in the family didn't want to let go, you know, for obvious reasons. And the son came through to me. He felt like he had to protect her. There was bad stuff there. She didn't get that there was bad stuff there. Well, what I picked up on as I went through this home, there's a little German boy. He talked to me in German. Good thing I speak German. he spoke to me in German. He had been there. My guide, he didn't tell me how long he'd been there. The child was confused. As far as he was concerned, he was 8 years old. He couldn't understand what happened to his parents. And that was, you know, pretty much that. He said that they punished him. He was sick, and they punished him and made him stay in the attic. From what I could gather, I believe it was during a period where yellow fever was very prevalent in the Jacksonville area, and he very likely had it, and basically they were putting him up there to keep others from having it in the home. But he felt like his parents had punished him, and then he doesn't know where they went or what happened to them, and this child, one of those confused spirits that has not moved on. Well, when you die and you don't move on, there's an open portal waiting for you. So there's an active open portal in the attic. There's also tons of negative spirits hanging out in the attic of this place, and a lot of activity going on up there, a lot of activity through the whole house. I'm going through this house and talking with the family and talking about the child, and they're getting excited because they think it's their child, and I stopped cold because they hadn't said anything to me because they were told not to till the end, but I could see the looks on their face, and I said, I know you're thinking this is your son, but the child I'm talking about actually has been in this house for about 100 years. And I was shocked because I didn't realize the house was that old, but clearly it was. It was a really old house. Turned out it was over 100 years old. But, you know, I told him, the child I'm talking about has been in this house long before you guys were. This child's been here for 100 years. But they didn't notice any activity from the child. They didn't notice anything until the son died. And then every little thing that happened,
she wanted to believe was the son. And she was getting communication, but it wasn't the son. She was being very much misled by demons that were coming through the portal because she was so full of depression, which, you know, people don't understand this, but unfortunately, depression is a negative energy as well. It's a negative energy that can attract a negative spirit because your aura, when you're depressed, goes way down. And when your aura goes down and you become depressed enough, that's when the negative spirits can get through because your aura is like a line of spiritual protection. It's like your armor. And when you get sick or when you get depressed or when any of those things happen or when you drink too much alcohol or when you take drugs, all of these things make your aura go down. So if there are negative spirits within the vicinity, they will be attracted to that too because that's when they can get in and mess with your head. So this lady's very depressed over the loss of her son, obviously. You know, I could not even imagine losing my child at 15 years old. It'd be terrible. And these spirits are basically getting in and messing with her. Mm-hmm. And we had more EVPs with that team from that house than we'd ever had with any other. I had told them this house is so insanely active, you know, you guys aren't going to be able to fit the EVPs on the page you usually put them on. There's going to be so many. And the founder of the team just kind of shrugged and said, well, okay, if that happens, that'll be interesting and that'll be cool. We'll see. Sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And there were scary EVPs, you know. We had EVPs in so many different languages, sending them to people in other countries to get them translated. Of course, the little German boy introduced himself and said he was 8 years old, just like I had told everybody. You know, there was proof and evidence of all of this that came through, you know, the EVPs. There were demonic things speaking terrible stuff in Latin, and there was just all sorts of crazy stuff that came out in it. This house was an insane cesspool, but one of the biggest problems was that active open portal from the boy from 100 years ago and the woman with the severe depression with an active open portal was just attracting every demonic spirit that could come through that portal to come and play with her.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, and she was turning very negative. She actually ended up, you know, I had to leave the investigation early. This one ended up talking very poorly about me to my team afterwards, and they told her point blank, look, she's always right. We'll probably end up with a ton of evidence that will prove it, and we hope that you'll be open to it when we come back. Well, they brought the evidence to her. All the evidence proved everything that I had said to her. We had EVPs of her son, EVPs of the child that died 100 years before, demons, and on and on and on, and it was very clear that this was what we were dealing with, and they presented her the evidence, and she basically kicked them out.
Mm.
It didn't go well. She wanted to believe everything was her son and that it was all good and that she was a medium now and that she could keep her son there and communicate with him forever, and that was okay. And the other thing that I will say, in any case like this, it's not okay. The spirits have to move on again, because as long as they stay and don't move on to the light, even if they're doing it for you because they think you need it, they're hurting themselves because they're not like you. They're no longer connected with God until they go.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that doesn't always mean they can't come back. There are some spirits that once they've gone to the light, they still make visits, they still communicate. Some do, some don't. But they have to make that trip, and until they make that trip, they actually themselves, by there being an active open portal from that spirit not moving on, they are leaving something open that could lead to demons as well.
Right. Now, have you, with talking to the spirit world, have you come across spirits that have moved on but are per se back as more of a guardian angel type figure in somebody's life, somebody that is,
yes,
you know, pretty much watching over them?
Yes, as a matter of fact, how do I explain this? My guide, I'll go ahead and tell you about this. My, what would be great-grandmother, actually died when my grandfather was 8 years old. His mm-hmm. father remarried. My mother actually knew another woman as her grandmother. But when I first asked to be introduced to my guides, I didn't know about the first grandmother. They never talked mm-hmm. about her because the second wife did not want her to be mentioned. Pictures were gotten rid of. Everything was like, you know, we don't even talk about her anymore. So one day I'm sitting watching Montel Williams, and, yeah, I know a lot of people have opinions of Sylvia Brown, but oh well. Sylvia Brown was on, and somebody in the audience asked her how to contact your spirit guides. And she gave them some answer that, you know, you need to get in a quiet place and meditate, and, you know, you might not be able to get in contact with them right away. It usually takes a lot of practice, but, you know, if you sit and you ask, eventually they'll probably give you their name and, you know, you'll eventually start getting some communication. And I was like, if this woman can do it, I can do it. Just something came over me and I was like, even though I didn't want to believe in this stuff most of the time, I was just curious, I guess. I don't know. I was like, if this woman can do it, I can do it. So I shut the television off and I went and sat in a quiet space, and it was like 0.2 seconds and I was getting communication. I was like, wait a minute, I thought this might not work right away. It worked right away. I had three spirits come through to me before I decided I wasn't listening anymore and shut it off. The first spirit that came through, this is probably closer to what you're wanting to ask me about, was my grandfather. He also died well before I was born. My father had actually just married my mother and moved to Germany when his father had a heart attack that took his life and passed away. Mm-hmm. And I had seen my grandfather. He had never spoke to me before this day, but I had had visions of him, full-on visions where the man standing in the same room as me, several times over the years, but he never spoke to me. I would just see him, and then he would disappear. And he looked really young. He didn't look like the pictures I had seen. My grandmother, I think for her own getting through life, she didn't keep pictures up of him at all once he was gone. The only pictures I'd really seen of him were my parents' wedding pictures. And in those, he's in a tux and he's older. And when I saw him, he looked like a very young man with medium brown hair, pretty good-looking guy, wearing a cowboy hat. And that's how he always appeared to me. But somehow I really felt this is my grandfather who was, you know, who died before I was born. I just somehow could sense that, but he never talked to me. So this particular day, he's the first spirit that comes through. And he tells me, I am not your spirit guide, but I come around you and your father a lot because both of you are a lot like me. Well, I didn't know what he meant by that, but I'm like, okay, whatever. Then the next one comes through, and she tells me her name's Dominica. And she tells me, I was your mother's grandmother. And I'm like, that's not any of her grandparents' names. What is this? Of course, the doubt starts to set in. And I'm like, no, that's not any of my mother's grandparents' names. I know it's not. What is this? This is weird. And, you know, she told me, I, you know, am one of your guides. I am actually one of your guides, but I was also in the bloodline. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third spirit came through, and the third spirit said that he was my Uncle Carmen. And I thought, what? I don't have an Uncle Carmen, but my mother does. Well, your great-uncle. Okay. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. How could you be coming through? You're alive. No, I just died of a heart attack. And I thought, no way. He's the healthiest of my grandfather's brothers. He's the youngest of my grandfather's brothers. There's no way that he died of a heart attack. I don't believe it. Nope. That was about when I decided to shut it off, that it was all a bunch of bull crap that I was getting in my head, and I didn't want to hear it anymore.
Well, my mother called me all upset that her Uncle Carmen died. The day before she died, of a heart attack. So I start questioning her.
I start questioning her about the time, and she says to me that, you know, and it turns out that it's around the time that, you know, I was having my experience. And I, and you know, she didn't tell me he had a heart attack right away. She told me he had died. I told her he had a heart attack. And she was sitting there going, so did your uncle call you and tell you already? He beat me to it. And I said, my uncle, not exactly, Mom. And I said, before I answer any more questions, I need to ask you something. And she was like, what? And I said, who's Dominica? My mom got real quiet. And then she says, where did you hear that name from? And, you know, I said, well, I don't know, Mom. She said she was my mother's grandmother. Is this, you know, one of your grandparents? And she said, this is my father's mother, but she wasn't really my grandparent because she died before I was around. And I'm like, okay, if she's your blood grandparent, she's still your grandparent, whether she died before you were around or not. You know, so I was like, okay. So at this point, I had to realize that it all certainly was real and, you know, kind of freaked me out. But what I could tell you from that experience and from my further experiences, there are times where they become our literal guides. Your literal guide would have had to have died before you were born, because your guides have to be present with you on the other side before you come here to set up your contract of what your plan is going to be, what you are here to learn, because essentially that is why we are here. And they're on the other side taking their turn guiding us. I have a group of 12. When I say that, I say it that way, and that doesn't mean I have 12 guides. It means I have 11. I am number 12. I am the one who's here. They are on the other side guiding and helping. When I die, we'll make an arrangement, and one of the others will take a turn.
Mm-hmm.
My great-grandmother is in my spirit group. So she, I was guiding her while she was here, and she's now guiding me. That's the difference in that as far as a family member who is a all-out guide. Now, my grandfather stated very clearly, I am not your spirit guide, but I come and I spend time with you and with your father because the two of you are a lot like I was. Mm. I knew he meant it in a negative way. It was very clear the way he said it. I didn't understand it fully. I talked to both my grandmother and my mother about it, and they both said, you have no clue how true that is. And their description of it was to tell me that my father and I and my grandfather share a stubbornness that nobody else in the family does. And you know, clearly I did. It took me, you know, 30 years of life before I was willing to accept the fact that I was a psychic medium. I fought it like you wouldn't believe. But, you know, they both told me basically the same thing, that we are the stubbornest people they've ever known in their lives. And if he was here thinking he needed to help us because of a negative trait, that it was definitely the level of stubbornness that he had and that the two of us also have. So I've kind of taken that for what I can, because I got the same answer from both women. So.
Well, that makes a lot of
something. Yeah. Friends, family. I think I had mentioned my friend Lisa and her daughter and her having Mary with her, who committed suicide. Mary hung around for years and years, and Mary still every now and then to this day, you know, comes through. Mary now comes through directly to her daughter, because the daughter, who didn't want to believe in all of this stuff, is the one who eventually got slammed with the mediumistic ability too. That's how it sometimes works. Those who believe the least are the ones who have it the most. But so Mary now comes right through to her. But she still does. She's still around. She's still watching over that friend's life, because she sees such a parallel between them. And she wanted her to have the good life that she messed up and didn't get to have. This is what sometimes happens with the spirit world. They see the mistakes they made, and some family members will come back, especially if they have time and they're permitted. Those that are can come back and spend time and try to help those family members that they see, or those friends that they see, or those strong soul connections they had in their life, they can come back to those. And yes, they can be not technically their spirit guide, but giving them guidance because they want them to not make the same mistakes. I frequently see grandparents that choose in particular to be around their grandchildren because their child might have been different from them, but then generation, the next generation seems to get some of the same personality traits, and kaboom, it's back. And so the grandparents will be there guiding their grandchildren to not make the same mistakes they did. These things do happen, yes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, because I've had a lot of people tell me or describe to me, even some of my friends that have medium abilities, that there's a spirit here in my house that, and they'll describe him, and they all describe the same person and his name and whatnot, and come to find out, it's my great uncle. You know, I never met him. He passed away, you know, before I was born, but him and my father hung out a lot, my dad being the only male, you know, in the family. He had four sisters. So it kind of makes sense now. That kind of painted a little bit more light to what I have over here. It's just one of my family members kind of watching out for me, you know, because I never met him. You know, I don't even know what he looks like, and except through pictures. So, yeah. Makes a lot of sense. That's why I asked that.
Yeah, they do. And if you have personality traits, and sometimes, you know, especially if you're dealing with an uncle you know or a grandparent, asking your own family, hey, did I have traits in common with this person, like a lot? Or, you know, that'll give you an answer right there. Just ask around.
Yeah. Cool. Well, we're down to the last couple minutes. I was going to give you the opportunity to throw out any websites or anything for people to contact you or read more about you.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess the easiest website to give is my regular website. It's www.psychicmediumvalerie.com. You can pretty much get to anything else from there. I think I have links to some other stuff, maybe my Twitter and Facebook or something, and my own radio show, Spiritual Awakenings Radio, you can find through there, and you can find my Keen page through there, because I also do readings on keen.com, and pretty much everything is through that website. So, yeah, www.psychicmediumvalerie.com.
Nice. Well, thanks so much for coming on, and wish you a Merry Christmas. And a Happy New Year.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me on again. And happy holidays to everyone.
All right. Well, good luck with everything, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again next year. But good luck with your move and everything.
Yep, get through the move, and maybe sometime after that will be good.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, you have a great night, Valerie.
All right, you too. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye. Hey, Jeff, you still there?
Barely.
Barely? You got a song picked out for us?
I do not.
Well, while you're picking out a song, I'll say thanks again to Valerie Renee for coming on tonight. Next Sunday, we're going to have a very special episode. URN Radio Network will be putting on a in-the-air extravaganza / Christmas special. All the hosts, all the shows, Full Spectrum, Project Paranormal Radio, Terra 5 Radio, URN Radio Show. They will all be on together, and it should be a lot of fun. So tune into that. Never know who's going to call in. We'll be making fun of Jeff, that's a damn sure. And the last guest of our year, Jeff, we're going to end with Kimberly Boulette and her friend Karen. And that will be it for this year. So
right.
Tune in. Tuesday on Terrify Radio, we got Mary Barrett will be our guest on this Tuesday. So there's all the plugs. Jeff, you have a song now?
Yep, I do. Yeah, you can be that long. Good night, everybody.
Good night.